Life, heard daily and weekends on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR, Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and on 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So what does the recent settlement with the National Association of Realtors really mean? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, the National Association of Realtors settled a lawsuit that could usher in some changes in the way real estate is bought and sold. Carolee Gurney is my special guest today to explain what all this means to consumers. Carolee, always great to have you on the program.
And it's always great to be here, Bob. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. I tend to ask the last couple of days, hey, have you heard about this National Association of Realtors lawsuit and the settlement? Yeah, but I don't really know what it means. That's just about the answer that I get. What's it been like in the real, you know, being in the real estate industry with this settlement coming down and all the news coming around with it? I'm sure y'all are talking about it quite a bit.
We are definitely talking about it quite a bit, and I have people stop me on the street, it seems like daily, to ask about it or text me. I think before we really understood what was happening, we were kind of a little bit afraid. And
yeah,
we've come to find out it's a little different than what we thought.
Yeah, and you know, I thought we could take the story because there's a lot of moving parts, and I think it's a good exercise for anyone who is in the process of buying a house or going to buy a house, just kind of how the process works, a little bit more of a deeper dive. So let's talk a little bit about just what has happened, the lawsuits and the National Association of Realtors. First, who filed the lawsuits, and then who is the NAR?
Well, some clients filed some of the lawsuits. That's what got it started. And a lot of different real estate brokerages were named in those lawsuits. And so that's kind of where it began. Some people were feeling slighted in the process, whether it was the professional fees that they paid or whether they were shown houses that they didn't get an opportunity to see or had planned on seeing and their agent didn't take them to see them.
So who is the National Association of Realtors? I mean, that's y'all's regulating body, like, that looks over everything and approves things and that's it. That's who regulates y'all, correct?
That is the regulator, yes. And of course we have local regulators like the Texas Real Estate Commission as well, but NAR is the national level. And to be a part of the multiple listing service, which you might have heard of as MLS,
right,
you're also a part of NAR, the National Association of Realtors.
You know, one thing that I want to stress is that these new regulations are about, really, this is the case in a lot of these types of situations, a few bad actors. You know, most realtors, I want to stress this, are doing the right thing.
That is correct. And it's interesting because there are two changes that are being brought about from these lawsuits, and one of them is that you have to have a buyer's representation agreement. And in Texas, we already have that, but many states across the country don't have that. And so what was happening is agents might be taking their buyers out, and they might see that, oh, the seller's not paying my full professional fee, so I'm going to skip that property, and not taking their buyer to see that property,
right,
which is sliding the buyer. And I agree with that 100% because they need to be given the opportunity to still see that house and to possibly negotiate their agent's professional fee. And because they had no buyer's representation agreement, there was no detailed agreement that explained how that worked, unlike in Texas that it does do that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the individuals who make up the real estate transaction. I mean, obviously you got a buyer and a seller, but take it on a little bit of a deeper level.
So a buyer usually has a buyer's agent who is the one who takes them around to the houses, and then the seller will have a listing agent who lists their house and markets their house.
So you have two realtors, mm-hmm, a buyer and a seller, and you had the realtors representing, obviously. And you could have a situation where the realtor has the listing and the buyer.
You can definitely have that situation, and that's called intermediary.
And so I would assume that there are maybe special forms or something that has to go on with that particular situation to
Correct.
Identify that, hey, this is
it's both, an addendum, your contract
both sides.
That says that.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about how you mentioned the MLS, what that is and how that comes into being a part of the story.
So MLS, the multiple listing service, is where all of the, well, not all of them, but where the majority of homes are listed is going to be in that service, which realtors have access to. And we're able to use that. And up until now, we have been able to see what sellers are offering buyer's agents to bring the buyer to their home. It's been evident. So we talked about one of the NAR changes being you had to have a buyer's representation agreement. The other change is that they are no longer going to allow that to be disclosed in MLS for the buyer's agent.
Okay, and talk a little bit about what that means. So give me a working example of that.
So I'm taking a buyer to see, let's just say, 10 houses. And I go and I look in the MLS system to see those homes. And in there right now, I can tell whether or not a seller's offering a full 3% commission, which is the standard in the industry right now.
Okay, so they're offering, you're in the MLS system, you can see that they're offering whoever the buyer agent a full 3% commission.
Correct.
Okay, of the six, which is kind of standard, we'll talk about that, but
yes.
The 3%.
So if I go in there and I see that, maybe they're only offering 2%, my buyer representation agreement explains what happens when that happens. So right now, if I'm meeting with a buyer and we sit down and we go through the buyer's representation agreement and we come to my professional fee, which says, as your buyer's rep, I take a 3% professional fee or commission. And if the seller is not offering that full amount, you buyer are responsible for the difference. So if we're going to see a house that's only a 2%, I would tell my buyer, hey, one of the houses on our list today is only at 2%. Do you still want to go see it? Because you'll be paying the other 1%.
So why? What is it that obligates? Just kind of pull this together. You're taking Joe out to see a house,
mm-hmm.
and you tell Joe, listen, they're only paying 2% of my fee. How come he's obligated to pay the 1%?
Because my professional fee that I charge is 3%. Which is in our contract, so that's why they pay the difference.
So your professional fee could be, y'all could negotiate
a
2%. Okay, very good. So the problem being that people don't realize that, so they may not be seeing all the houses that are really truly available to them. So is it just the being uncomfortable to disclose the fact that they're going to be paying 1%?
I think? In some states, they don't disclose it because they in the buyer representation agreement, which is why that's important, because these people who are out looking at houses don't understand how that 3% works because they haven't seen it in writing. And that's been the biggest thing is, okay, are you disclosing what your fee is and are you disclosing what the seller's paying and what the buyer might be obligated for, and they haven't been doing that. So that's been a big issue outside of Texas. In Texas, we've been doing it that way a long time.
So pardon the Captain Obvious question, but let's say, we got to break it down, draw pictures for me. So you have, why would a realtor be hesitant to show somebody a 2% fee? Just don't want to bring it up that there's could be an extra 1% fee. Is that pretty much it?
It's uncomfortable. Yes, it's
so
uncomfortable.
That it's, just,
it's always uncomfortable to talk about yourself and your fees and what you make.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I was just wondering if there's any underlying reason that they would be hesitant.
I think that's probably the only reason they would be hesitant.
Okay, so were there any situations where they didn't disclose that? And the 1% ended up in the contract, hoping nobody would see it? Was things like that happening?
Well, so the way the multiple listing services worked up until now is that whatever fee is in the MLS system disclosed in there, that is required to go on the contract. So if a seller has put in there or the agent has put in there that they're offering 3% or 2%, That's what goes in the contract.
Okay.
Between the buyer and the seller. Okay.
Okay. Right.
And so that's what is paid. And it's that is non-negotiable if it's in the MLS system.
Okay. So you have the standard 6% commission fee. Where did that, at what point did that become kind of the standard? Because I would assume it had, at some point it had to become where everybody put, yeah, we have 6% fee, transaction fee. And in your, if you've ever, if you, people, when they discuss buying a house, yeah, you got, don't forget the 6%, you know, overall commission that that's paid. Talk about, I mean, when did that come about that way?
Well, I know it's been around at least back to the 50s. It's been around a long time. I think what people don't realize is that some agents actually have charged more. I mean, I've seen agents and
so there's,
about
there's,
agents who have charged 8% or 10%.
Right. Okay.
It really is a negotiable fee, but it's come down to the a reasonable fee to have charged these years has been the 6%, and you split it between the buyer's agent and the seller's agent. So each is only making 3%.
Okay, so in the contract between the seller and their the listing agent, they put on the MLS that let's say this they're paying 3%. And if they put their 2%, then the buyer's agent has to disclose that hey, your 3% is my fee and you're going to have to pick that up.
Yes. Which is never fun. That's never a fun conversation.
Well, yeah, it's not. I think that, and you and I talked about fees. I mean, fees are such a tricky conversation. They are in my business. They are in any business that, because at the end of the day, you, as a financial, as someone who's paying that fee, they're wondering if I'm getting what it's if I'm getting everything truly paid to me. I mean, you know, I know that there, and I want you to speak to this, that there are a lot of things that fee goes to. It's not just like they're cutting you a 3% check. And I don't think that this gets really discounted. I know that I would never try to do a real estate transaction by myself. I mean, I just think that that's crazy. Absolutely. And especially in as a difficult market, to the notion that a realtor's not worth that fee, it's just is unbelievable to me.
And I'm glad to hear you say that. And a lot of people who have approached me about this have said the same thing. It can be, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you don't know what you're doing. You can do something wrong in a contract. You can maybe not fill out the right paperwork. You might not write the right things down on the seller's disclosure that's also required with a real estate transaction. There's so many different things that people don't realize. And honestly, I've been doing this for 12 years, and on every transaction, I learned something new. I mean,
it's
never the same. So just think about 12 years of learning something new every time I have a transaction, and the buyer or seller who's never done that before isn't going to have that wealth of knowledge that's going to be able to help you through that transaction. And it really is pertinent for that reason. And these contracts are really important, because I think what's not happening and the reason these lawsuits have come into play is because people aren't having conversations that need to be had.
Right. That's an interesting observation, because it's kind of one of those things where you just don't want to rock the boat, because mm-hmm. this is so important to find the right house. I remember when you helped me with the transaction not too long ago. And you told me the fee, and I just said, okay. I didn't even do the math.
Thank you.
Well, because, you know, I'll brag on you a little bit here. What's always appreciated about going through that process is that I knew I could bug you, I could call you, and beyond the fact I've known you for a very, very long time, but you never came across as, man, you're just taking so much of my time. You were really always there to serve and make sure that, you know, we got exactly what we needed, whether that was you couldn't possibly have a day that goes by that you're not getting 10 or 15 phone calls, even on Sundays and the weekends.
That's true. That's true. And I think phone on silent just so I don't.
And I only say
everybody around me.
I only say that because. That once again, the fee is definitely worth it. I mean, but there are realtors that don't that don't treat their business that way as well, just like in anything else. So I think the moral of the story is make sure you're getting what you're paying for, and definitely in this market it makes sense. So talk a little bit.
Thank you, by the way. You're welcome. I appreciate it.
The envelope is right there. Just slip a five or a ten, preferably a $10 bill in there, and we'll be okay. So just to kind of wrap this up, the settlement comes down to really, and when I called you to talk to you about this, you were real quick to say, it just comes down to two things. Don't overcomplicate it, you know, because and this is where the media really screws things up. I know President Biden gave his remarks, and he thinks that y'all should lower your fees, and he also thinks that the fees are not negotiable. He needs to be informed. The fees have always been negotiable, but you said it comes down to two things, two changes. Talk a little bit about that.
So real simple, we talked about conversations. If you're doing your buyer's representation agreement or your listing agreements, you're having those conversations up front. So everything's real clear from the beginning. And because it hasn't been that way across all of the United States, that's one of the things that's now being required nationwide, is that you have the buyer's representation agreement explaining how that process works.
There's nothing wrong with transparency, and that's only going to make y'all's business better.
Exactly.
It's going to weed the bad actors out.
100%. For sure. And then the other change is that now we will not have that seller's offering in the multiple listing service data. So now if I want to know how much the seller's offering for my professional fee, I have to call the agent and ask. And my understanding is we'll have some kind of form that spells that out so that we have an agreement on what that is.
I can say this. You probably don't want to air your feelings one way or the other, but I will say that is the most ridiculous. That is really ridiculous. I mean,
we're going to be working harder for our money.
Well, I mean,
which is a good thing.
But think about this.
That's not such a bad thing.
You have to pick up the phone. And so you say 2%. Why am I going to act any differently, whether I got it over the phone or looked it up? I mean, it makes no sense. Okay,
no idea.
We won't.
It's a little extra work, but you know, I think we work hard, and it gives us an opportunity to reach out to the agent ahead of time.
Yeah, it does. We'll figure that out at some point, I guess, right? So what do you see going forward? I mean, does this change the industry in any way? I know that it's kind of jumping way out there, but...
Okay, I think there are some good things that come from it, and it's that you're having the conversations we talked about.
Right.
And I think it also is keeping agents honest. You know, I could see how if you didn't have an agreement at all and you're looking through the houses and as an agent and you're thinking, we'll just go to these because they're paying higher fees, that's going to go away. Because now you're going to be forced to have the conversation of, here's how my fees work, and here's how much the sellers are offering or not offering. So I think that's a good thing, and I think it's going to make agents better at their job.
If the client reads the paperwork, right? I mean, you can't count on that every time if you're trying to pull something over on somebody. But I'm saying that's the one thing I would be willing to bet that you really do advise is to make sure that you read what you're signing. I'm the world's worst at doing that. I will just, you sit me down in front of a bunch of papers and tell me what it says. Okay, I hate to admit to that, but
but you are so right.
I just trust.
Yes, because you'll send, I mean, we use DocuSign, so you'll send it.
Oh, that's right.
And I always say, hey, you're going to get this. Look over it and let me know a time that we can review this because I want to make sure, you know, everybody understands. And when they don't loop back around with me to do that, I'm never surprised that they come to me and go, I didn't know. I'm like, well, that's why I wanted to review, because you really need to understand how this works. So I think it's really important to have those conversations.
So that's
before you ever go out.
That's interesting, and I didn't even think about DocuSign. How has electronic signatures changed the world for a realtor?
Oh my gosh, a lot less paper.
Yeah.
And a lot more time efficiency.
Oh my gosh, you're not having to deliver contracts and...
Do you know that back in the day, I'm going to say 50s, 60s, maybe 70s, You had to go buy an office and pick up a key to go show each property and then return it. And you had an MLS book, not a computer.
And that was published, what, once a month maybe?
I think so.
And you had no idea if it was, if the house still was even up for sale, I'm sure.
I'm sure. So it's a lot better. I like DocuSign.
Yeah, I was I was surprised how easy at a closing that we had, how that process, you know, we did it in front of someone, a notary that was online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of really good changes. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show, talking to realtor Kara Lee Gurney. And I'm not even going to try to give you the website because I don't want to butcher it. So
okay.
I'm going to let you give the website.
Okay, it's Mariposa, Mariposa, groupdfw.com. Actually, the Mariposa, groupdfw.com.
Let me ask you this question. From the standpoint of you, so you get 3%, let's say, off of a sale. You know, I think sometimes people just assume that, well, that's a lot of money. They're getting paid, but that 3% gets divided up into a lot of different costs and expenses. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, just Captain Obvious is going to be the mileage and wear and
right.
tear and gasoline that you're paying for. Traveling around. That's
maybe not so Captain Obvious though.
Maybe
because
not.
I don't think people really do think about that.
Yeah. And then your time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We don't get paid till closing day. So
right.
if you drop an agent, they're out all of their time and their expenses.
Does that happen very often?
It does happen. Surprisingly. I mean
right, they're in closing.
Oh, I wouldn't say at closing. Not usually under contract, but just if you've been going out a lot.
Oh, okay, okay.
And
it's not working.
We're not going to do this. You're that's just
those contracts are, you can cancel them at any time.
Well, they are. I mean, I guess kind of on average, they're about 6 months, 6 month contracts.
Not the listing, but the buyer's
agent. Representation
okay.
as well. So that's kind of how that works. But the other expenses that might not be so obvious is. Advertising, you're doing the photography on the listings. I mean, my photography package is close to $1,000. So that's a pretty good chunk.
You mean you don't go and flip take your iPhone out and take those pictures?
I would never do that. I'm like anti-doing that.
But tell me, I mean, that happens, I'll
it
bet.
It does happen, and you can tell. You're like, well, this house doesn't look that great. I don't think I want to go see it.
And but the pictures always look better than the house.
Well, not it's, always, always.
Well, I mean, but, okay, well, I don't want to always it. But a lot, I mean, that's a good thing because it brings you in where you might not have been attracted to it to begin with.
True. And then you've got your splits. So I know I pay an assistant to do a lot of my paperwork for me.
Overhead.
Overhead, all of that. And then our splits with our brokerage. So we always have to give a portion of that to our brokerage.
So when does all this go into effect?
July.
Okay, so let's say that a listener is kind of tracking with what we're saying. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to have visuals. The bad thing about radio, don't have any visuals. What questions would you tell the buyer to be asking?
So they should be asking about your experience, and they should be asking about how you handle your transaction. They should be asking about what the process is. And, you know, I think really what they need to know is the value they get out of an agent. And if you know that, those are the characteristics that you want to be looking for.
And probably anything north of 3%, you want to be asking a lot of questions.
I would. I mean, standard in the industry is 3%. If they're asking for more than that, ask them what additional things they're doing.
Yeah, one other thing, too, that you just mentioned, we've got to wrap it up, but the 3%, the 6%, in a sense, a very strong sense, has been set by the market and accepted by the market for decades.
It has, and just to give you an example, in Austin, Texas, they because they're Texas, they've always had the buyer representation agreement, but I think it's been about 6 years ago that they took out the seller's offer in MLS. So they've been running the way that we're all talking about running for about 6 years, and the average is still 3%.
Wow. Kara Lee Gurney, and if you need any information about Kara Lee, go to her website or go to prudentmoney.com and we'll get it to you. This is Bob Brooks. You got a question for me? Please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.